every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 33rd year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nierad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. And Chris, are your daughters getting excited about Halloween yet?
They are. My younger daughter's birthday is the week before Halloween, so she's already counting down the days.
That's exciting. I remember doing Halloween with the kids, and they had a Halloween parade at their grade school all the time. And that was a big, big deal back in the day, 20 or 30 years ago for me. Plenty of news to talk about in the auto industry this week. In an interesting bit of irony, we have a report on how EV charging infrastructure is now catching up with demand, even as EV sales are expected to slow in the fourth quarter this year. If they build it, will they come? That's a question. We'll tell you more about that and chat about that a little bit. Volvo is still gung-ho about its electric vehicle plans, and we'll tell you what they have in store for 2026. Pretty cool stuff. I know you're a Volvo fan, as I am, Chris. Kia is losing its soul, quite literally, as the Korean brand dumps its much-beloved compact hatchback. It's also putting the hamsters out to pasture, so we'll have more on that coming up. If you remember those hamster commercials, I think a lot of us do. And while we're in play on words mode, Subaru is turning its back on its legacy. In this case, it's its legacy sedan. We'll have info on that. And finally, fake parts are having very serious consequences, and we don't mean at the nation's gentlemen's clubs. No, we mean in auto shops, and we'll have more on that. Chris, how do you feel about fake parts?
Danger, danger is how I feel about fake parts.
In so many ways, in so many instances, I'm right with you. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Only One Thing Stays the Same, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury. So imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. As your longtime listeners of the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, how you can save some money on your car. And Chris, what is your test vehicle this week?
I spent the week driving a 2025 Genesis GV70, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
I look forward to talking with you about that, one of my favorite vehicles recently. My test vehicle this week is the 2025 Lexus TX350 in all-wheel drive form. So I drove that in Texas recently. We'll tell you about that in our road test segment. So stay with us. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you bought that TV in the parking lot. It just happened to not come in a box or include a remote. And when you finally managed to turn it on, all it displayed was the menu of Grumpy's Tacos. So use Progressive's AutoQuote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates.
Staples presents, That Was Easy.
Our office computers were from, like, 2012.
What? They had computers then?
Yeah, I don't know much about new tech.
Apparently.
So I went to Staples and saved big on an AI-powered HP laptop and HP OfficeJet Pro printer, which also came with 3 months of free Instant Ink.
And we're back in this century. During Staples HP Tech Event, save up to 35% on HP printers and up to 40% on AI-powered HP PCs.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app. Until 11-1, select models only.
I'm Scott Hansen, host of NFL Red Zone. Lowe's knows Sundays hit different when you earn them. We've got you covered with outdoor power equipment from Kobalt and everything you need to weatherproof your deck with Trex decking. Plus, with lawn care from Scotts and, of course, Pit Boss grills and accessories, you can get a home field advantage all season long. So get to Lowe's, get it done, and earn your Sunday. Lowe's, official partner of the NFL.
Remember when they used to ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? At Bank of America, we ask every day, what would you like the power to do? When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour. So the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jack Nerad back with you, and plenty of auto news this week to talk about. I think this is kind of an ironic story, Chris, and I'm eager for your take on it. As more chargers, electric vehicle chargers, are coming online, EV sales are expected to waver this year. We've always complained about the fact that infrastructure has not kept up with EV sales, and now... We've had a year in which there have been a ton of infrastructure advantages, and they're adding chargers right and left. And now we've eliminated the EV tax credit, and we'll see where this goes. Fast chargers have surged more than 80% in the last 2 years, the number of fast chargers out there, 60,000 across the country. That still doesn't come close to the number of gas stations, but your take on this.
Look, I think, you know, EVs have had two main problems since they became a thing here. One of them was price, and the other one was charging availability and range anxiety. And this kind of solves half of that equation. With the tax credits going away, leaves a major problem. So who knows, maybe used EVs will have a moment out of this. But what I will say is that the improvement in the charging infrastructure has made it so that you can recommend EVs to people who can't charge at home in a lot more places of the country now. Which I think is a great thing, even if, you know, demand isn't where many want it to be.
Right. One of the things I'm curious about, Chris, and maybe you've had some experience with this, because I know you're an EV owner and you drive an EV all the time, is public charging and the how much it costs. I've heard that it's much more expensive to charge at a public charger than it is at home. What's been your experience?
It is. It's 3 or 4 times as much to charge at my local EVgo station as it is when I do the math and plug in at home. And it's also slower. Some of the plugs are fast chargers, you know, depending on where you live. Right. We don't have a single fast charger where I live. The fastest is 50 kilowatts.
Wow.
So, you know, the closest 350 kilowatt charger is about an hour from me.
That's crazy. You know, we're seeing infrastructure catch up, but I think a lot of people would go, well, that's still not nearly... appropriate for me. I can't sit at a thing for an hour or something like that to recharge my car. And maybe it's much longer than that at that kind of charge speed at a level 2.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what Volvo is putting out there. They are still quite gung-ho about their all-electric lineup. You know, certainly they're going to supplement that with a lot of more conventionally powered vehicles, although Volvo certainly has creative powertrains. There's no doubt about that. It's plug-in hybrids and all kinds of stuff, turbocharging and this and that. But here's the all-electric lineup. They have updated the Volvo EX90 for 2026. They give it 800-volt charging architecture, which is a big, big advantage. It gets up to 155 miles of range in just 10 minutes' time at a compatible station, at a fast-charging station, kind of optimized fast-charging, I would imagine. It also gets more advanced dual NVIDIA computer system, that's kind of cool what they've done there, although everything is centralized in that one system, which I think is good or bad, depending. What's your quick take on that before we go onward here about the other Volvos?
Yeah, I think it's a big improvement for the XC90, but, you know, Volvo's had problems with its software in these vehicles, both the EX30 and the 90, so the move to the NVIDIA processors could help with that. So I'm going to hold my breath and wait to see, because I think both vehicles look great and have some great features, but need some improvements.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff. When you have software problems, I think I interviewed the NVIDIA head of automotive combination with the EX90 launch, I think this is two or three summers ago now. And it's exciting what they're planning to do, but at the same time, kind of challenging if you have stuff that isn't working properly, and then it all doesn't work properly. It's not just a single system that goes out. They're also introducing a less expensive version of the EX30, a single motor version that starts at $38,950, 261-mile range, and 28-minute charging. I think that's fairly competitive. Your thoughts on that?
I agree. The EX30 has been compelling from a price and range standpoint since it debuted. So, again, with the software improvements, I hope they've made them for this upgrade.
Right. And then they're going to have a cross-country version of the EX30, which is interesting. And this is of special interest to you, Chris. The Black Edition styling package on the EX40 has got to have you very, very excited, right?
Oh, you know how much I love cosmetic upgrade packages for thousands of dollars.
Yes, and Blackout in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's a sad story to me, and I was close to Kia at one time. I did some public relations work for them, 20 or 30 years ago. But the Kia Soul seemed to capture a lot of the ethos, I think, of Kia, their compact hatchback. I almost want to call it a sport utility because it's almost that, but not really. It kind of helped redefine compact vehicles, which was usually popular, and now it's going away after 16 years or so. It's one of the biggest values out there, I think, when it was in the marketplace. I just thought, there's so much interior space. It's so versatile. Interesting design. What's your thoughts about its departure?
Yeah, I was a little on the fence about it at first, the hamsters and the kind of funky styling. And then I drove one and actually put my kids in it and hauled a dog in it. And it was a fantastic vehicle. I would be happy to see Kia bring it back as an EV
yeah.
At some point. That would be nice. But I think, for people who need that sort of space, it's a very great vehicle, and I'm sad to see it go.
Yeah, I think they had an EV version of it for a while, if memory serves.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of cool, but... I think it was just such a value. I think that's one of the things that I really liked about it. And then, of course, you had that hamster advertising that was kind of fun. We're going to see Subaru. Subaru has already bid adieu to its legacy sedan, at least building its legacy sedan here and probably selling it here in the United States. It was assembled at their Lafayette, Indiana plant for many, many years. And this was always, I think, kind of an underrated car. I like the legacy sedan, and even more so, I like the legacy wagon when it was out there. I think it was, a terrific kind of family station wagon. Just met a lot of needs. Thoughts?
Yeah, legacy was always my favorite Subaru. Even, the older models, they had a bunch of sportier variants and things. But, I would love to have them keep it around, but I guess not.
Yeah. Well, the sedan market is just going away, so they're going to build more Forester SUVs in that plant in Lafayette, Indiana. So that's good. Built in America is good, too. Here's the thing. This is about stuff that isn't built in America necessarily. It's counterfeit auto parts, and they're creating major headaches out there. And it's very, very difficult to determine what's a genuine part and what's a not a genuine part, especially if you're you know, buying at an independent auto parts store versus a dealership. I think if you go to, a Toyota dealership, you're going to get genuine Toyota parts there. But there are a lot of good aftermarket parts, don't get me wrong, but there are a lot, apparently, a lot of counterfeit parts that just aren't good at all. And I'm curious as to your thinking on all of this.
Yeah, if the price seems too good to be true, it probably is. I think, you know, saving some money on cheap car parts is one of the more dangerous ways to save money. I think, you know, it may look the same as the part that you took off the car, that the mechanic took off the car, but it won't function the same. It might not last as long. And for things like airbags and wheels and tires and brakes, those safety issues pile up very fast. So you can't always control it, but I would say do everything in your power to buy genuine parts.
Yeah. I mean, the difficulty here is the packaging makes them look as if, I mean, they counterfeit the package as much as they counterfeit the part. And again, there are good aftermarket parts from very reputable companies that are worthy of being put in your car, but an extra bit of caution here. Again, if it seems too cheap, probably an issue there. Chris, remind us of the vehicle you'll be testing this week.
I drove the 2025 Genesis GV70.
Yeah, I like that vehicle a lot. I was driving the 2025 Lexus TX 350 all-wheel drive. We drove it around Texas. We were visiting my middle daughter, who is getting married a little later this year, so we're doing some prep on that. And I got to travel around in the Lexus TX, so we'll have more information on that when we come back. Stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both airline and hotel with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jack, me right back with you, and it is road test time. And Chris, just to give people a little preview of what you're going to be talking about, this is a vehicle that I've liked a lot. We talked about it, I think, a month or so ago, but I'm really eager for your take on the Genesis GV70.
It is one of my favorites in the segment, just to preface the review by saying that. But it's a 2025 Genesis GV70. You can get into this vehicle, Jack, for around $48,000. I tested the Top Sport Prestige trim, which has an upgraded powertrain and all the great features, and it was a little bit more than $70,000. But what do you think about the value proposition of this vehicle?
I think there's a ton of value here because this is one of those vehicles that is just so impressive to look at inside and out. And I think it drives just fine and maybe better than average in the segment. But from a looks and curb appeal, it's got it in spades, I think.
I agree. And I mentioned this last year or the year before when I tested the GV70. It was the first vehicle that people actually came to my house to take pictures of because it was so striking looking. But the base powertrain is a turbocharged 2.5 liter four-cylinder. It makes 300 horsepower. My test vehicle had the upgraded twin turbocharged 3.5 liter V6. It makes 375 horsepower through an 8-speed automatic transmission, and all-wheel drive is standard in this higher trim level. Jack, one of the things I really like about this vehicle is that you hear just enough of the engine to know that something is happening, but it feels like it's three or four rooms away from you if you were in a house.
Right.
Genesis has done a very good job at isolating the cabin in this vehicle and making it feel special and premium. And there's plenty of power here. The acceleration, I think this thing does 0 to 60 in like 4.5 seconds, which is pretty solid for a two-row SUV. And then the ride quality here is fantastic. What do you think about the performance?
I think the performance is great. I mean, this isn't a performance vehicle. I think competitors, probably the German competitors, have specialized performance models, really expensive specialized performance models that will outdo it at the edges. But I think overall, this is a very responsive vehicle with a lot of acceleration and also good ride quality. As you mentioned, quiet.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say, you know, the more expensive European models, I think sometimes you're not able to use all that performance. And I think you can get more out of a twin turbo V6 than you could a big V8. But, you know, as you mentioned, the ride quality is great. It's not quite as agile. I drove an Audi S8. Which is far more expensive, but the ride quality there is not as great, but you get great handling. So I think more people would be happier with the Genesis ride quality, even though it's not as sharp as some of the more expensive Euro model. Inside, as you mentioned, the cabin is gorgeous in this vehicle. The materials are high-end. It looks great. There's plenty of space. Everything is where you expect it to be. This vehicle has perforated leather upholstery with heated and ventilated seats in the Sport Prestige trim. And then as you get a nice material, so you have like a simulated crystal gear shift lever, nice metal aluminum accents, faux wood accents that actually look real. And the space is very nicely designed, as I said, so it looks nice when you're sitting inside. The front seats are great. You get good space, good ergonomics, and they're nicely padded. The back seats, like with the Murano that I reviewed last week as a two-row SUV, they're a little bit tighter than I would like to see, but you get good cargo space, so that's kind of the trade-off here. Jack, what do you think of the interior space, especially in the back seat?
I think it's just fine, and I think it's appropriate. And, you know, this is a vehicle I think that I'm not necessarily a golfer. You know, I play golf maybe once every 2 or 3 years and not well. But I think a lot of people are golfers and they want to put golf bags in the back. This could be an empty nester vehicle where people are going out with another couple or something like that, or maybe going on a long weekend even with another couple. There's plenty of luggage space in this thing is what I'm trying to say. And the back seat is plenty roomy.
Yeah, and you know the nice thing here is even though it does have limited back seat space, you have a couple of different color options. My vehicle came with the lighter leather interior package. And with the panoramic sunroof on board, it feels like an open space, so it doesn't feel like you're confined. And again, it just looks great inside, so no complaints there. You get a 14.5-inch touchscreen with a 12.3-inch digital gauge cluster, wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. This is based on Hyundai's infotainment system, so it's easy to use. It does have a more complex skin over the interface, if I could say it that way, but it's still very simple. The resolution is great. It looks great. and it's very responsive, so you're not going to be spending a ton of time swiping and looking for features and settings while you're driving. And then this vehicle comes with a nice audio system as well and a full suite of safety equipment, including blind spot camera system, which I really enjoy. If you're changing lanes, you can't rely on it entirely, but it does add a layer of peace of mind to lane changes, and you can see what's beside the vehicle. So, Jack, this is a luxury vehicle and it's priced as such, but I think, you know, $50,000 to $60,000 is a good sweet spot for this car, and it doesn't feel too expensive.
No, absolutely. It's one of those vehicles, I think, that doesn't feel too expensive, even though it's not that big. I think the level of luxury of this thing, you know, the level of looks and just the exterior jewelry on it, and it just seems so premium that the price doesn't bother me in this instance at all.
I agree completely.
Well, let's see if you agree with what I have to say about the Lexus TX 350 all-wheel drive. I had it in luxury trim. And this is a vehicle where I think you and I both think, what took Lexus so long to do this? You know, there have been three-row luxury SUVs everywhere else from competitors for years and years and years. And we've never really got a legitimate three-row SUV from Lexus until the TX. And it is absolutely legitimate. It's not quite full size, but it is a nice size. And just it just makes a ton of sense to me. I mean, the three-row practicality of this thing. So you have the style. It's a good-looking vehicle. Not overly Lexus, if you get my drift. I mean, they haven't gone crazy with the spindle grille, for example. I think it looks good. It's not necessarily striking, and I wouldn't say it's striking in the Genesis sense. It's not one that just jumps out at you in a parking lot, but it's a good-looking vehicle. And I like this trim, actually. I'm really glad that this is the test trim that I got to drive, because there's some more expensive trims that maybe aren't the value that this one is. It's kind of like a mid-range and very conventional, at least conventional compared to others. The MSRP on this thing was $73,518, so it's not an inconsiderable sum. That's a lot of money. But we're talking about a luxury three-row with three legitimate rows. I think competitors would be more expensive. Maybe one of the ways that there's a little economizing here is in the powertrain. This is a 2.4-liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine, 275 horsepower, 317 pound-feet of torque. It's not a ton of horsepower, reasonable amounts of peak torque. It's paired with an automatic transmission, so it doesn't have a CVT. You know, that works well. It's paired with full-time all-wheel drive here, and that dynamically adjusts its distribution. Most often, it's kind of front drive oriented, and then it can go 50-50. But what's your take on the TX and in this powertrain?
Yeah, I agree that I'm surprised it took Lexus so long to do this. They had the RXL for like a year or two and it didn't do very well. But, you know, the powertrain is okay. I will say that it, you know, it's not the most powerful, as you said. It's not the most athletic, but it's mostly quiet. Lexus does a good job with sound insulation, although, you know, you can still hear it. And I don't think anybody's going to be drag racing their TX anyway. So, you know, I think unless you need to tow, this is probably just a fine engine.
Yeah, I thought it had enough power. I wouldn't have minded another 20 horsepower. You know, this is Jack Neyrat. I always like a little bit more power, I guess. But certainly comfortable, quiet, did all the things that a Lexus should do, even when pretty fully laden. And we were driving it around with the, you know, oftentimes with four adults or more. We went to a college football game and did that kind of thing, which was kind of cool. It was my rivals, my daughter's rivals. They went to rival colleges, so they play each other once a year, although that's going away. So we got to take it to that. Steering feel is light but predictable. I mean, very appropriate for a luxury vehicle. It handles very well for a vehicle that it's of its size. I think, as I mentioned, it's a fairly good-looking vehicle. The vehicle I had 22-inch alloy wheels. It had LED lighting, a rear spoiler, which was neither here nor there, really. Again, doesn't really stand out in a parking lot. Was perfectly good-looking. Any thoughts about any of that I've said, Chris?
I am exceptionally happy that they didn't go overboard with the grill. I think that's very tastefully done, at least compared to their previous models. So I'm on board with it.
Yes, I am too. I like the interior. The materials are high quality throughout. There's ultra suede on the front seats, and they're heated. Of course, they're trimmed in leather. There's open pore blackwood trim, my favorite. I hate closed pore wood. You know, it needs to be open pore the way I look at it. Panoramic glass roof, which I like. Big 14-inch touchscreen. It has the Lexus interface, which is essentially the Toyota interface. I mean, you mentioned the Hyundai interface being the Genesis interface. We're seeing the same thing here. It has wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, digital key capability. It works just fine. I mean, we hooked it up to Apple CarPlay. That was a reasonably simple pairing, and you know, went on about our business. Could have done that wirelessly, but I think most often we used a wired connection. Good cargo space behind the third row, which I think is important. Some of these three-row vehicles have very little cargo space. But this has 20.2 cubic feet behind the third row. And if you fold all the seats, 97 cubic feet. So this is very ample inside. Parting shots on this, Chris.
Yeah, I love to see it. So many three-row SUVs have like 70 cubic feet of space with the third row down, and then you fold the third row up and you end up with like 12 cubic feet. So that's a great thing for people who need to haul people and gear.
Right. Good amount of ADS, Lexus Safety System Plus 3.0. Why it isn't 3.0 Plus, I don't know, but that's the editor in me. There you go. Reasonable fuel economy. Of course, if you got a hybrid, you'd get better fuel economy. So all in all, I think this is a good value. I mean, $73,000, $74,000 is a lot for a mid-sized vehicle, but this is a premium vehicle from a luxury brand with a bunch of luxury stuff. So I think it's a good value overall.
I'll agree with that.
Very good. And when we come back, we will be talking about stuff, because that's what we're going to do next. So stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Fall is in season at Kohl's, and you know what that means. Pumpkins, plaid, and anything that smells like cinnamon. This week, take an extra 20% off decor, home furnishings, bedding, and more. So whether fall is your entire personality or you're just a casual pumpkin enthusiast, the deals at Kohl's are here for your seasonal style. Select styles, some exclusions apply. 20% offer ends October 19th. See store or kohls.com for details.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
With hurricanes, wildfires, and severe storms threatening communities, preparedness is essential. In a crisis, connection helps hold communities together. Year-round, T-Mobile works to keep people connected, reinforcing sites, adding backup power, and using smart tech and AI to reroute traffic and even tilt antennas in real time to spread coverage when a site is affected. If cell towers go down, T-Satellite with Starlink lets compatible phones send and receive texts, even to 911, in most places, as long as you can see the sky. And emergency alerts can still reach most phones. You don't even need to be a customer. On the ground, teams deploy with mobile cell sites to restore service, while community support vehicles offer free Wi-Fi and device charging for anyone who needs it. This National Preparedness Month, enable wireless emergency alerts, set up Wi-Fi calling, and save local emergency numbers. For more information, visit T-Mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. founder Mark Gus Scott, chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nierad back with you. And instead of having a guest this week, we're going to talk about what's going on in the car industry because we reached kind of a pivotal point where the electric vehicle tax credits have gone away. We have some new tax credits out there, and we'll see what they do. They're, I think, designed to spur the American production of vehicles. But this is a kind of a pivotal time in the auto industry as we enter the fourth quarter of 2025 and see what's going on there. What are your initial thoughts on that, Chris?
I think everybody is kind of scrambling to figure out where the buyers are going to land over the next 3 months, 2 months of the year. And I don't think anybody knows, even the automakers. You've seen a lot of them, including some Americans, Dodge back off of their electrification plans a bit and go back to their gas engine roots. So I don't know, man. I think it's going to be tough to figure it out. I do think, you know, the range extended EV trend might be something we start seeing more of. Scout is doing it. Ram is doing it. So I think it's anybody's guess, Jack. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see that. Let's dive into that a little bit. I mean, I think Jeep is also going to have a range extended vehicle out there. And I think they're excited about that. Why don't you describe to the listeners exactly what that means? Because it's kind of a hybrid, but really not. Tell us about it.
Sure. Yeah. A range extended electric vehicle is an electric vehicle. It runs on electric power alone, but it does have a gas engine, and that gas engine is not connected to the wheels in any way. No transmission, none of that. The only purpose the gas engine serves is as a generator to charge the electric battery or the batteries in the electric motors. And that extends the range by 30-40%, whatever the number is, but it's different for every vehicle. But the difference is that you still use gas, but the gas doesn't actually power the car.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, well, it is really what the Chevy Volt was back in the
day.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, I think, looked at that as a hybrid, but it wasn't that really. I don't think they called it a range extended vehicle, but it's that kind of thing. What's interesting to me is in some of these vehicles, the size of the engine they use to run the generator to generate the electricity, there's a lot of complication here. And I would have thought you could probably get by with a fairly small four-cylinder engine to charge batteries, but it doesn't look like some are taking that course.
Yes, Stellantis or Ram is using the Pentastar V6 as the extender in the Ram truck, which I think is probably a cost thing for them, right? They've been making that V6 for like decades at this point in time. So it's probably not cheap. But from my perspective, I think range extended EVs might be the sweet spot for a lot of buyers. At least the models we've seen that are coming out look like gas vehicles. People still get to go to the gas station and fill up like they would a normal car. And then they don't have to worry about so much of the range, although you do still have to stop and charge. So I don't know. I think, it'll be interesting to see, but I am hopeful that they become the sort of new sweet spot.
Yeah. I think they answer a lot of questions that electric vehicles have posed and have not answered, right? And one of which is range, because you can conceivably drive this vehicle forever if you have fuel in it, because it's going to be charging enough to run the electric motors. You don't have to worry about recharging, and I think that answers the question. You can refuel in seconds, just as you would refuel a conventional gasoline-powered vehicle. So I think there's a lot to like about that. What probably people won't like about that is I've got to believe they're going to be much more expensive than a conventional vehicle, because essentially you've got, if not a second powertrain, you have a conventional engine, and then you have electric propulsion with a pretty big electric battery, pretty big. I don't think there's a gas battery, Chris. I think they're all electric. But you have a battery, and of course, that's the most expensive part about an electric vehicle. So it doesn't really solve that, but I think it solves a lot of other problems.
It does, yeah. We don't have pricing for the Ram Charger or whatever they're going to end up calling it. But it's expected to start at $70,000 to $80,000, which is $25,000, $30,000 more than the gas truck is to start. I think it starts in the $40,000 range. So it might be a hard sell. I also thought about this while you were talking just a moment ago is, you know, these are pretty similar to plug-in hybrids, and people buy plug-in hybrids and don't plug them in and don't get the efficiency that they need. And those are pretty expensive too. So, you know, I might be second guessing my thought that they'll become the next step in EVs based on how plug-in hybrids have performed.
Yeah, I mean, plug-in hybrids are expensive and they're not all that popular. I mean, there's a small niche that they have occupied, but it's smaller than battery electric vehicles themselves. Again, a lot to like about that, but the premium you pay for that, I think a lot of people are going and are presented with the issue, I could get a hybrid, I could get a plug-in hybrid, or I could get a battery electric. And the hybrid versus the plug-in hybrid, I think a lot of people aren't seeing the advantages of going to a plug-in hybrid. It requires you to plug it in, for example. And I think one of the things, too, I've thought about this in this past week, the vehicles with immense range these days, we're seeing a lot of vehicles that have 450, 500, 600 miles of range. That means where you used to go to the gas station once a week, you're now going to the gas station maybe once a month or something like that. It's as opposed to, I have an electric and I've got to plug it in every night. Talk about that. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a big benefit. But, you know, we've talked about this 100 times. Everybody wanted more range to start. You know, when we were getting the EVs like the Nissan Leaf with like 115 miles of range, everybody wanted more range. Now we have it. Now everybody wants faster charging. So it's, you know, you have 600 miles, 500 miles of range or whatever it is. And as I mentioned, if I owned a Lucid Air where I live now, I'd have the option to charge at my level 2 home charger or a level 2 public charger. And I think that's the holdback for me. But some people charge into these things and buy these things without really caring about some of those issues. So who knows? But I do think, you know, we've kind of got the cart before the horse, and now the horse is catching up, and now the cart is falling behind with tax credits going away. I just keep coming back to it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm very excited to see what does.
Yeah, me too. I'm curious about your experience too. You're what, like a year or so into owning an electric vehicle, or maybe longer than that? I mean, tell us
about a year and a half.
Yeah. What have been the positives and the pitfalls there that you'd like to point out to people that they might not be thinking about?
I think the positives for us, at least for my wife, because she's the primary driver of it, is that she doesn't have to stop for fuel anymore. The car is very quiet. It has quicker acceleration than her Volvo did before. It was a turbocharged four-cylinder versus electric. And she likes the more relaxed driving experience of the vehicle because there's no engine noise and things like that. I will say, and part of this is due to General Motors, the crossover between General Motors and the Honda Prologue, is there's some quirks there. I think the time to charge is the big thing, and I just mentioned that a moment ago. For us to get a full charge on our car, it takes overnight almost. You know, it takes, you know, a little bit of extra time, and there just aren't any quick charges around. I think also the price is another holdback. We got a very good deal on the Honda Prologue, and I think they probably still have a lot of really good deals. But if you were to go out and buy it, it's $70,000 for a two-row SUV, which is just too much.
Yeah. Do you essentially plug it in every night? Has that become kind of a pain in the neck? Or, you know, tell me about that.
We charge like once every other week.
Really? Okay.
We don't really have, my wife's commute is very short. We have 270 some odd miles of range. And it just isn't that often that we have to charge. But it's very easy just to plug in at home and forget about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of the electric vehicles I've had recently as testers, in fact, one I'm going to be talking about, you know, coming up, I had an Ioniq 5 recently, and it had enough range that it never became an issue at all. You know, I wasn't going to charge it, but I also wasn't going to go 230 miles in it. So it's a non-issue, and I think apparently a non-issue for you. And then it's super convenient. The vehicles are so quiet and in some ways fun to drive for that reason. The amount of torque, it reminds me of slot car racing, right? You add more throttle and you get more speed, right? And then you come off the throttle and you get less. There's no gear shifting, nothing else going on. It's just like a rheostat, essentially. I guess it probably is a rheostat, right?
Yeah, I agree. I enjoy the EV driving experience. You know, At first I was a little bummed out about not having the gas noise and the feeling and everything else. But even as a diehard gas engine enthusiast, I can find pleasure in the smoothness and the refinement, the instant power, as you mentioned. And some of these things are pretty darn quick, Jack. I mean, not even performance models, but just like the regular Genesis GV60 is like Porsche 911 quick in a lot of ways.
Yeah. They're quick, but in some ways they're uninvolving to me. And I think you mentioned some of the reasons. They're not that visceral, really. You know, they kind of just perform really well and they're really quick, but it's like, okay, got that. You feel the same way about it? And it strikes me that kind of one electric operates pretty much like every other electric.
It does. There isn't a lot of variation between how one, like, I mean, some of them are quicker than others, but the feeling is relatively the same. I mean, some of them handle differently and some of them have different seats and things. You know, for me, it feels like an on-off switch, and I've kind of started thinking about it that way. Mm-hmm. You put your foot down, the vehicle goes. There's not a lot that happens in your brain when that happens. But it can be very exhilarating, at least the first few times you do it. And like the Hyundai Ioniq 5N is breathtakingly quick. But once you do that a couple of times, that's kind of the trick, right?
So yeah, there's none of that driver involvement, like changing gears with a manual transmission and stuff like that. And, you know, using the clutch and doing those things that we as drivers kind of enjoy doing and have that skill set. Some more skillful than others. There's plenty more skillful than I am at all of that. But it's in a lot of ways, to me, more engaging than the electric vehicle experience.
Yeah, driving my GR Corolla feels like actually doing some work and being involved with the car, and then driving the Honda Prologue is it's like being transported somewhere, although you still have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Right. I'm kind of curious as to your thoughts about what the future is going to hold, and I mean beyond the end of the year and into 2026. And so I think a lot of people still talk about a transition to electric vehicles. They think it's still going to happen, but maybe not as quick as possible. And I have to ask the question, and maybe this is the old Luddite in me, like, why does it have to happen? You know, what about it necessitates that? I think when electric vehicles are better than gasoline power vehicles at the same price, absolutely. And I love the experience, don't get me wrong. And I love electric vehicles. But I don't know that there's a compelling reason right now for the mass market to go out and buy an electric vehicle versus a conventional vehicle. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think any prediction that the world is going to be electric by 2035 or 2040 or anything like that is a little bit misguided. We'll probably have gas vehicles. I mean, this is my opinion, not fact by any means, but I think we'll have gas vehicles on the road for several more decades at the very least. And even then, there may be use cases where gas will always be better than electric. We don't know that just yet. So, and I'm fine with that. I don't really have an issue with that, even though I think, you know, we do need to get a handle on vehicle emissions and things. So I don't think we'll see it anytime soon, if we see it ever.
Yeah, I think there are rural areas. Maybe you want a gasoline vehicle. You're operating a farm or something like that, or a ranch. I think you probably want a gas or diesel truck or something like that to help you along. I'm also curious as to your reaction. We've seen a revival of V8 engines, specifically from Stellantis. You know, we've seen them, you know, reinstall V8 engines in the Ram truck and some other vehicles in some of the sedans. I think that's kind of an interesting take, isn't it?
I think it's fine. I mean, I find humor in it that we're now going, right. We're not just, you know, not doing electric all the way. We're going all the way back to the V8. Look, their buyers bought the cars with the V8s, and they didn't really buy the electric version of the Challenger that came out after the fact. So this makes sense. I mean, the V8 engine, those cars are made for the V8 engine. I mean, I think it's kind of how that goes. I'm glad to see it back in the trucks, too. And people probably, they've already bought a ton of them. So good for Ram and good for Stellantis, I guess.
Yeah, well, we will see how the rest of 2025 unfolds, and then 2026, a whole new year. And that'll be fascinating, too. I think a very watershed year for the auto industry. And when we come back, we'll have a listener question. So stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad with you. It is listener question time, one of our favorite segments of the show. We love to get your questions and comments. Send them along to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. And let me give you this question from John in Lubbock, Texas. John says this: with all the hype around electrics, I'm wondering if hybrids aren't really the smart play. What do you guys think about buying a hybrid versus an EV?
I think a hybrid can be a great way to save money on fuel and to reduce your environmental impact without spending all the extra money on an EV. I would say that just remember, you're still going to have to purchase gas, but you won't have to plug in and charge it because hybrids don't do that. And you won't have to stop and charge. Hybrids are also considerably less expensive than EVs, so you would save some money there. I would caution against trying to judge your fuel savings versus the money that you're paying for the car, because the payback period doesn't always work out as people believe it will. But yeah, I think in a lot of situations, hybrids are better for drivers than electric vehicles, especially if you live like where I do, where charging is not up to speed just yet.
I think that the current hybrids, too, also have drivability advantages, right? I mean, they're actually somewhat more fun to drive. They have smoother shifts, for example. So I really think there's a lot to like about hybrids. As much as I like plug-in hybrids, I don't know that you can make the case that they're worth the premium.
Yeah, I think we're getting to a point where the plug-in hybrids might be becoming irrelevant. I don't like to say that because I think they do serve a purpose. But I think we're at a point where some electric vehicles are better than plug-in hybrids, and the cost might not be worth it for everybody.
Yeah. So that's our answer to John in Lubbock. And that wraps up our show for this week. My new crime novel, Only One Thing Stays the Same, is now available in both ebook and paperback form at Amazon. If you like our show, please pass it on. Of course, listen on this radio station each week. Let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. That's important. We want to support terrestrial radio. And we also have podcast versions, so you can hear us whenever you want.
That's right. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple, Spotify, all the others. like us, download the show, and leave us a review. All those things help us out, and you can take us with you wherever you go.
Right. We have YouTube and Rumble channels, so check those out. Please subscribe to those. Our thanks to Mercury Insurance for sponsoring the show and to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying it. Most of all, thanks to you for listening. We do appreciate it. We know you have a lot of choices, so the fact that you're listening to America on the Road is something that we cherish. We appreciate that very much. We hope you'll join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.